Are you ready to receive today?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You know, I kind of feel like a chef in a way that you prepare. And a chef knows how to make a lot of food for a lot of people. And a good chef knows how to make it right. Amen. And as a pastor, you know, it's kind of like we're spiritual chefs, that we're preparing spiritual food for you that will give you sustenance so that you can live in victory in every single area of your life. Our greatest desire, really the true essence of our vision as a church, is to see people walk in total victory in their lives. Jesus died and paid a price for all of us, spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, financially, so that we don't have to live a defeated life here on this earth, so that we can be overcomers on this earth, not just when we get to heaven. Amen. But there's a lot of promises in the Bible about he that overcometh will get this and do this and have this and experience this. And when we overcome things, that gives glory to God. Amen. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you for hungry hearts, open minds. Father, we put our focus and our attention on you today. Give us a hearing ear. Give us a seeing eye. And we give you all the praise today, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're coming up stronger, we're coming up higher, and we'll never be the same again, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, last week, you can see up on the screen here, we began a new series called Shalom in the Home. And I was praying in the Spirit, and I was doing some work around the house, and after I prayed in the Spirit, this phrase came up out of my spirit in English and said, Shalom in the home. And I knew that that's what the Lord wanted me to share, some things along this line. Now, in case you're not aware of what the word shalom means, it's the Hebrew word for peace, okay? But it's not peace like you and I think in our American way of thinking. Let me give you the definition of shalom. Now, we often refer to the Israelites and the Jewish race, you know, they greet one another and say, shalom, like we would say, hey, how you doing? Okay? But it's much more deeper, much more broader than what meets the eye. Okay? Are you ready for this? The word, the noun for shalom, is often translated as peace. The verb shalom means to restore in the sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete. See that? One who has or has been provided what is needed to be whole and complete. Notice this, nothing missing, nothing broken. Let's say that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Completeness, prosperity, welfare. Now, the phrase that stood out to me is this phrase that we've often heard and probably heard it taught through the years. In our circles, you know, is this word shalom means basically this in a nutshell, nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. Amen? So you look around and you see, okay, there's areas of my life that I'm missing something or I'm lacking something or something's broken. Shalom can fix that because shalom is not a thing, it's a person. God and His presence, He is a real person. Everybody say shalom in my home. Praise God. And God wants that for you. Now that might seem like almost like a fairy tale to some people because, you know, you think, oh, wait a minute. I've lived this way all my life. I've only had this and I've had this limitation. I've had this. What makes me think, Pastor Keith or preacher, that there's something more than what I have now? Well, there's a whole lot of things. If you ask the average bass in a lake, is this the only life that there is? He'll say, yep, under the water. But how many of you know there's a whole other world out there? Amen. Amen? And there's a whole lot of things that God has prepared for you and for me to walk in wholeness in our lives. I know. I remember what it was like to be sick and God healed my broken body. Amen? I remember what it was like to have a stack of bills this, literally, this high. You know, paper's pretty thin, so you stack up all those bills on my desk. And I was so poor, I couldn't afford to pay attention. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you talk about fear. There was something missing, and there was something broken. And it was hard to lay down at night and have peace. But I'm telling you what, when Jehovah Jireh shows up, then he becomes your provider. Hallelujah. And he gives you not just enough, but more than enough. He's called Al Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. See, the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is good news. That's what the word gospel means. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? Gospel means, it's not bad news. People have made good news into bad news. But the gospel is, when Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, well, what on earth is good news to a poor man? You don't have to be what? Poor anymore. There used to be a restaurant called Po' Folks. It was a southern restaurant, you know, and a few years ago, they put one of their stores up in the area that I live in, you know, and it was there for about 5 years, and you know what? They went belly up. Po' Folks, like poor folks. Amen? Well, how many of you know when Jesus died for you, he took the po' out of you, amen? Amen. And he who became poverty that you might be made rich, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. He became the great substitute. He took your sickness so you could take his health. He took your poverty so that you could take his wealth. He took your sin so you could take his righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, see, a lot of people don't access it. It's there for them. It's kind of like having money in the bank, but you don't know about it. You know what I'm saying? Well, you could be doing without. And the whole time you had there's access money in your account and you never tapped into it. And so what we want to do is we want to waken us up to the fact that God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Mm-hmm. Peter says that. He's given us everything that pertains to this natural life and our godly life. And so the word shalom means this, simple terms, nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. The Lord desires us to be whole in every single area of our lives. How? By looking unto Him. Amen. Looking unto Him. Well, let's go over to John 14 real quick here. We saw this last week, and I want to show you this again. John 14, verse 25. Hallelujah. Are you ready this morning?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. John 14, verse 25, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Now notice verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you." Or you could say, "Shalom I leave with you. My peace give I unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Praise God. Now notice in verse 27, Jesus said this. He says, "I am giving you my peace, my shalom." He says, not like the world, okay? See, the world has a counterfeit for everything that God has. You know, the world has happiness, we've got joy. Because happiness depends on happenings. But joy is not based on natural things. It's based on a person. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God. Amen. That's why the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you don't feel like rejoicing. Am I the only one that's in that? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't feel like rejoicing. Sometimes you feel like having a bad day. Your body wants to say, "I want to have a bad day today." You deserve one after what just happened. Your flesh is like a big crybaby. It is. Our flesh is like a big crybaby. It just wants to have a pity party, you know, and just, you know. But, you know, did you ever notice that that never gets you out of that situation?
Yeah.
It makes it worse. Amen. I mean, sometimes you almost get irritated because the Holy Ghost will talk to you and you're like, "I don't want to do that, Lord." And I've had the Lord say this, "If I were you, I'd get excited right now." And my body's like, "I don't want to right now." But see, if you don't rejoice, the devil will think he won. And you talk about a loser with a capital L, you know, something slapped on the back of his back, loser. Jesus made Satan a loser. Our job is to enforce his defeat.
Amen.
Okay? We have to, we are just like the law enforcement, policemen and so forth. You know, their job is to enforce the law that someone else gave to them, somebody higher up. And our job is to enforce the law of God's word in the earth. And God's not going to do this or that. We're the ones in charge. Okay? And so that's why, you know, people get upset about these kind of things, but it's the truth. They say, well, God's got everything under control. You know, if he does, he sure has things in a big mess. Because, you know, in the next 10 minutes, someone's going to shoot someone. Someone's going to rob someone. Yeah. You know, so on and so forth. You know, just turn the news on. It'll tell you right then and there. Okay? Well, you think God is behind that?
No.
1,000 times no. God's not behind that. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, "In whom the God of this world, small g, hath blinded the minds of the unbelievers, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." Mm. Amen. Now, I remember back in the day when, 1976 to be exact, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, my sister, on this youth retreat, you know. And the greatest desire that we had at that point, and I was 16 years old, was to see my mom and dad come to Jesus. Now, we had religion, you know. We grew up traditional Methodist church, you know, but we weren't born again. We were churchgoers, you know. But like someone said, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a car, right? So it's who you know that makes you a Christian, all right? Well, my sister and I were radically saved. I mean, somebody shared the gospel with us. And so naturally speaking, and I know my wife can say the same thing about her family, I just had a supernatural desire to see my mom and my dad come to Jesus. And so I remember one day, you know, I was so green and so new at this, you know, about sharing the gospel that I had a lot of zeal, but not a whole lot of knowledge. And I remember this one day I was helping my mother. You know, we had different, we call them chores, you know, remember back in the old days? Well, they're still good, amen? It's good to have kids do things, amen? Can all the kids say amen? Okay. Good to have them help out around the house. Learn responsibility. It's good. It's healthy. Praise God. And anyway, my mother's she's washing the dishes. I'm drying the dishes. So I thought I'd bring up the conversation, you know. And they were upset. Initially, they were really upset at us. We laugh about it now. But my dad's in heaven with Jesus now. He's really laughing about it. But you know, when I got saved, they thought we joined a cult. They really did. And they thought, we raised you, you know, isn't that not good enough for you? And you know, how do you explain that? I had an encounter with God, you know. See, when I went to church growing up, I couldn't wait till the preacher said amen. I mean, I could not wait to get out of there, you know. I mean, I'm drawing little things on the envelope, offering envelopes and stuff. I'm just trying to buy my time, you know. The only reason I liked communion back then is because you got something to eat. It meant nothing to me. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I started to share with my mother, you know, and I don't know, maybe I said it the wrong way, and because I said something, well, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Okay. Well, she, under no uncertain terms, that made her really upset, you know, and she yelled at me. And then my dad was downstairs in the basement. He has a workbench down there. He's all these tools that he had. He used to work with his hands a lot, you know. And he came running up the steps. That was back when they were young. He ran up the steps. And, I mean, we had the most fiery conversation. I mean, everybody started crying. I left the house crying. I thought, this is crazy. You know, here I'm just trying to help them come to the knowledge of the truth, you know. So I began to realize that, you know, this isn't working too good. And I say that I was really frustrated. I was really upset because I thought, how in the world am I going to reach my mother and my father? You know? Well, I had a friend of mine that lived out. We went to school together, graduated together, you know, and I had the privilege of leading him to Christ right after I got saved. And so we became real good friends, okay? And he ended up going to Bible school, the same Bible school I went to, and then moved to the state of Washington. And, man, we would pray together and witness together and all this kind of stuff. Well, it was about that time that we picked up a book. We started going to a church that was from a Rhema graduate, same school I went to, and was teaching on the authority of the believer. And I had picked the book up. I had never read that before, from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. And I began to realize that, and he said, there was something he said in that book that really got my attention. If you have that book, it's such a blessing. And he said, nobody in their right mind would drive a car, you know, 80 miles an hour down the road, and there's a big sign that says, end of road, there's a cliff. Nobody in their right mind would go through that sign and go off of the cliff in their right mind. He said, it's the same thing spiritually. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. Amen? So we began to realize that, wait a minute, Jesus said the whole world lieth in darkness. Okay? We were all part of that at one time. But I'll tell you what, someone prayed for you, and that's why you're here today.
Amen?
Amen? You know, let's take a little side journey here, but about a month ago, I had a really, really, an encounter with the Lord, and he didn't appear to me or anything like that, but I'll tell you, it was one of those early morning experiences where the Lord began to speak to me, and I just asked the Lord out of my spirit, not with these mouth of my mouth, but your spirit has a voice, and I asked the Lord, I never asked him this before, and I said, Lord, why is it that I got saved and other people didn't? You know what I mean? I don't understand. Lord, why? Why? And just as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, I'll tell you exactly why. He goes, because you had ancestors that you didn't even know back yonder that were praying for their seed, for their bloodline. And he says, I honored their prayers and I sent people across your path. That just got all over me. I mean, you know, we don't go by feelings, but it's nice to have those once in a while. You know what I'm saying? And I just began to realize the seed of someone else's prayer, you know, whether they're, you know, going back to England or whatever, you know, Germany, whatever, you know. Someone prayed for me. And as a result, I got saved. Well, going back to this situation here, my friend and I, we got a hold of this book, The Authority of the Believer. And we, you know, and he came from a larger family. There were seven of them all together in the family. He was the only one that was saved at that point. He was the only one. And my sister and I were the only ones that were saved. So I remember we would get together. It was on a Friday night. And I pulled up in my big blue Monte Carlo with the hood about as long as this room. You know, 1976 Monte Carlo. That thing had some power. Hallelujah. And it was about midnight, you know, we had gone out and so forth. And we're sitting in my driveway. I'm driving, my friend's next to me. We started praying in the car. And we stretch. This is exactly what happened. Is that we stretch our hands. No one else saw it except God and us. We stretch our hands. We took authority over blindness, over my mother and my father. And we broke the power of the devil over them. Blindness. Okay? Then we drove down the street and we lived about a mile and a half away, went to his house, pulled up in his driveway, did the same thing, same exact thing. Took authority over blindness, over spiritual blindness, over his mother, his father, all of his brothers and sisters. Well, guess what? A short time after that, you know, I'm sitting, my parents had gone to a retreat, actually. It was a Methodist retreat. And it was a couple of days. Two or three days, like a Friday through Sunday type thing. And so I was kind of liking it. I had some freedom in the house, you know. and like I said, I'm 16 years old, 17 years old, something like that. And they came back, and when they came up and they opened the door, I looked on their faces. I'm just sitting there watching a television show or something. And when I saw their faces, there was a glow on them that I'd never seen before. I mean, I was like, something's fishy here. But in a good way. And they said, son, we want to talk to you about something. I said, okay. You know, normally that means I'm in trouble. And They both, my mother started crying. My dad was, you know, had a big smile on his face. And they said, "We just want you to know, we just experienced what you experienced." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, there was this Methodist evangelist, you know, that was born again and came through. And I mean, he was from the Johnstown area. And he came through and ministered the gospel. And all the people that were in that retreat gave their hearts to the Lord." And I'll never forget that. That was just a short time after I had just prayed. Well, hallelujah. Well, they came into the fullness of the salvation and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's never been the same since then. Amen. And my dad moved to heaven a year ago. And he's up there with Jesus. And I'll see him again. No question about it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? Jesus took the sting out of death. There is no such thing as death to the Christian. The Bible calls it sleep. Is it painful to fall asleep? How many of you like to fall asleep once in a while? Not in church. Not in church. It's forbidden in this church. Well, anyway, my friend one day, it was on a, sometime after that, now this happened to be in the middle of the winter, and this was like one of those winters where it was really, really cold, you know, like sub-zero for like a whole month, you know, back in the 70s, something like that, 78, 79, something like that. You remember that? I mean, terrible cold weather. Now, you have to understand, my friend, you know, he doesn't like to jog, he doesn't like to run, he's a little bit overweight, you know, he ran up in the middle of the winter from his house, and I heard this on my door, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I go to the door, and here's my friend, and he's out of breath, you know, and I go, "Come on in, what's going on?" And he just looked overjoyed but tired at the same time, you know. And we went to my bedroom, which is behind the kitchen, and he says, "You'll never guess what. His older brother just gave his heart to Jesus."
Praise the Lord.
Okay? In fact, he was in a bar. Okay? And somebody came into the bar. It was downtown in the bad area downtown, you know. And this guy was so bad that he had been in a gunfight before, been shot, but survived. Okay? Just trust me on that. It's really bad background. Well, this guy came in that he went to school with that had experienced Jesus and got saved, and he ran into this guy in the bar. This guy started witnessing to him. He gave his heart to Jesus right in the bar. Yeah. And this was the black sheep of the family. He was the worst. He was the worst. And then one by one, we saw, not all at once, but one by one, all his brothers and sisters, mother and father, came into the plan of salvation. Now, I said all of that to say this, that you don't have to pull your hair out in frustration trying to win people to Christ. You have authority in Jesus Christ to take authority over blindness that's hindering people from receiving the gospel. Do you ever try to share Jesus with someone? They say, "I don't want to hear that." You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just better to just let it alone. Amen. But let me tell you something. God knows who they will respond to. He knows who they'll respond to. See, heaven and hell is a real place. Amen. And I'm telling you, it was real to me that heaven was real. And I didn't want any of my relatives or friends to go to hell because Jesus paid a dear price for them. Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, just a few years ago, I'm going to say about 10 years ago, now we, to the glory of God, we saw all of our family come in, every one of them. Well, from time to time, I've had the opportunity, just like today I'm sharing with all of you here, but on a one-on-one basis to certain people. And I was talking to my brother's father-in-law, who's a dear Christian man, wonderful man. And we were at their house, and he had a brother that was a black sheep, they would say, and really, really in a bad way with drugs and alcohol and the whole nine yards and just even worse than that, terrible. And every time that my brother's father-in-law would try to share or help his brother, he would just get angry and start cursing him out, cussing, whatever, you know, and just cause a ruckus, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting down having a conversation with this my brother's following him. His name's Tom, all right? As I'm talking to him, this comes up in my spirit to share because he was open about this. And so I shared with you what I'm sharing right now about the blindness over a person's life. Amen. And that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever so that the light of the glorious gospel can't get into them. So our job as a believer is to take that authority over those spirits of darkness and remove it from them so that they can think clearly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes. Well, he listened to me, and as we went, he was chomping on. He was grabbing a hold of it. You know what I'm saying? And I said this, and I could feel the anointing building and building in my, as I was getting real excited as I was talking to him. I said, I tell you what, you know, now his brother lived in Florida. We're in Pennsylvania. I said, look, first of all, there's no distance in the spirit realm. God doesn't have to work harder if someone's on the other side of the world. He's right there and he's right here. And so in a simple way, we just lifted up, and I don't remember what his brother's name was, but we said, Lord, we're lifting up Tom's brother, so-and-so, you know, and here's what we prayed. Lord, in essence, we take authority over every blinding spirit, spirits of darkness that are blinding his eyes from receiving the truth, and we break and take authority over that spirit right now. And Lord, we ask you that you, the Lord of the harvest, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest to reap. So, Lord, we pray that you would send the right laborer across this man's path, someone that he would respond to, someone that he would respect, and someone that he would receive from. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few short weeks later, I don't know what it was, a month or two, we were back in contact. And this time, my brother's father-in-law had a big smile on his face because I said, well, what's going on? He says, you'll never guess what. He goes, you'll never believe this. I said, no, yeah, I will. He said, my brother got saved.
Praise the Lord.
And he said, not only that, he's listening to gospel music. Okay? Now, this is one rough guy. I mean, if I told you his life, I'm not going to do that, but if I told you this guy's life story, you would think, I never knew it could get that bad with somebody. I mean, it was horrendous what this guy, the depth of darkness that he was involved with. Well, someone came across his path. Yeah. He received Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't start going to church or anything, but he got born again mm-hmm. and started listening to the Christian music, and now his whole life has changed. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And he received the gospel. Church, I wasn't planning on saying this, but you know, you and I have been given God-given authority that we're going to start tapping into more and more.
Amen.
I mean to tell you, Jesus didn't just leave us with forgiveness of sins. Thank God he did. But he gave us authority over the powers of darkness. Amen. I don't have time, but there's so many other things I could get into this morning. I just want to be spirit-led about what I'm supposed to say. But the essence of what I'm sharing here is this. Jesus said in verse 27, my peace I leave with you. That's John 14:27. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, let's focus for a minute once again on verse 27. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Do you see that phrase up there? Let not your heart be troubled. Let me ask you this question. Who is responsible for not letting your heart be troubled, God or you?
Us.
Amen. It's like that, so that old gospel song, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, we're responsible to say, I'm not going to let my heart get troubled. Amen. But he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart. What's your heart? Your the core of your being. Amen. Your mind, your will, emotions, your who you really are. Don't let your heart be troubled. Why do you and I get troubled sometimes? It's because we hear bad news. Right? Let's go over again real quick to Psalm 112 here. Psalms 112. I'm not going to read all this, but just a couple of scriptures here. Then in Psalms 112, I want to give you a realistic picture of the fact that you can have a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday filled with God's peace.
Amen.
Amen. So many times people have had so much turmoil in their lives that when they have some little inkling of peace, they think that's abnormal. And they're waiting for the hammer to come down to get back under the being stressed out all the time. That's not God's normal. You know, there's no stress in heaven.
Amen.
You don't see Gabriel biting his nails. Amen. You don't see Jesus worried about, you know, if he's going to have enough money to feed everybody. No. He's the Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. And I'll tell you, the Prince of Peace is here in this place right now. He's here. Now, Psalm 112, let's look at verse 7. We saw this whole thing last week, but we want to focus just on verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, or we'd say bad news. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies. Again, in verse 7, he says, he shall not, or I should, you could put it in the first person, I shall not be afraid of bad news. Why? My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Here's a phrase I want you to say, because it's so powerful. I refuse to fear. Say that.
I refuse to fear.
Okay. Now I want you to say it with a little bit more oomph behind it. Okay? You ready? I refuse to fear. One more time.
I refuse to fear.
Okay. Now when you said that, something registered inside your heart, because Satan, his only attachment to you and to I, his only way of getting to us, his umbilical cord, if you will, is the spirit of fear. The devil cannot do anything to you apart from fear. He can't. Brother Copeland was sharing about how his granddaughter came down with meningitis, you know, a few years back. And I've heard this testimony many, many, many times, you know, And it was the kind of meningitis that they gave you hours to live, literally. And so, and I remember through the years them sharing about that, but his daughter, Kelly, said this. When the news came, this was like during Christmas years ago, they're in the hospital. And when the news came that she only has hours to live, she said she went over to her other sister and she looked at her. And I'll never forget, she says, methodically, slowly, she says, I refuse to fear. I refuse to be afraid. And she just backed off. And she said, as soon as she said that, the mother of the daughter, it was like this peace, a blanket of peace just came all over her. And she said, I was just at peace. And you know what? She was supernaturally delivered and is alive today, preaching the gospel today. Because the devil's only connection to you and to I, it just like Job said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. In Job 3:25, Job said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. So what you fear the most has a way of being attracted to you. Well, let's take the flip side of that. What you faith the most shall be added to you. Because fear and faith are they're just reciprocals. Fear has faith in the devil's ability to hurt you. Faith has trust in God's ability to heal you, to deliver you, to provide for you.
Thank you.
Amen? So listen, you and I, today, the 17th day of November 2013, at 11:39 a.m., we have a choice to say, I refuse to be afraid. And you know, when you do that, you just frustrate the tar out of the enemy and his cohorts, because they're like crippled. They can't do anything. They can't do anything. Because they're like, they just refuse to be afraid. I'm jobless. I'm in the unemployment line. Well, that's good for them. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no place in me. He has no place in me. Well, we can say the same thing. The devil might come. The enemy might come. Demons might come. But you know what? If we're filled with the Word and we're filled with God's presence, they have no place in us. I refuse to fear. I refuse to be afraid. You know, you get bad news about your daughter. You get bad news about your son. How do you respond? You know, well, train yourself to not yield to fear. Amen. Okay? You can do this. Okay? You can do this. Jesus said, fear not. If he told you to fear not, we can fear not. Now, you're not, you know, you're not looking at someone that hasn't dealt with these kind of things in my life. I was a professional worrier. You know, if they had a medal for the Olympics, I would have got the gold. I knew what it was like to worry and be afraid growing up that way. You know what I'm saying? And fear is a learned behavior. So I had a whole lot of stuff to overcome, especially back when I first got saved. I thought, will I ever overcome this? You know, you kind of get to that place, you're like, will I ever overcome this? You know? Well, you have to believe that Jesus put enough emphasis and he put enough stock that he paid a price for you and he believes in you when you don't even believe in yourself. When you're about to give up for the 35th time, you said, oh, I've tried this before. God still believes in you because he loves you. And here's the phrase I want to use. He's invested so much in you that it's at the point of no return. Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never, never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. And even when you feel like quitting and caving and giving up, sit in the middle of a floor in the corner somewhere and just cry, he's still there saying, I'm here for you. All right, honey, just come back up. I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm for you. And if I be for you, nothing can be against you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. When I was a kid, you know, I remember when I was 7, 8 years old, back in those days, they had these, I don't know if they still make them or not, there was this thing you blow up, and it was a clown. And there was sand at the bottom of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't even know if they still make them anymore. You know, that's for another millennium or something, you know. And I just, you know, I wanted to be like Superman and Popeye and all this kind of stuff, you know, growing up. You know, that's the era that I grew up in, you know. And so I got great pleasure in beating that thing up, you know. Just crack that thing, knock it, you know, as a little kid, you know. And then I noticed that every time old Clowny would, he had a big goofy smile on his face. And every time that clown would, I would hit it as hard as I would, that thing would come right back up and like, you know what I'm saying? No matter how hard I knocked that thing, and I remember vividly, that thing would come right back up every single time. Bump, bump. You know what I'm talking about? Well, a few years back, the Lord was reminding me of that. He said, that's the way I want you to be. You might get knocked. You might feel like you're getting knocked around, but you just come right back up. You put a smile on your face and say, ah, I'm here. I'm showing up today. Bless the Lord. Micah, the prophet Micah says, when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. So if you get knocked down, don't stay down. Just get right back up. Just brush yourself off. Say, all right, here we go again. Praise God. And sooner or later, you'll be the one standing, and the devil will say, I can't mess with him or her anymore. Okay? Wow. Praise God. In John 21, if you go over there real quick, John 21, we didn't look at this last week, but that was just my introduction today, okay? So. Don't be afraid. In John 21, if the Lord says quit, we quit, okay? Even if it's in the middle of my notes, it doesn't matter. But in John 21, I think I can wrap this up in 10 minutes, okay? But in John 21, verse 25, very interesting scripture here. It says that there are many there are also many other things which Jesus did, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Yeah. The Apostle John said this, if everything was written that Jesus said or did, he said there'd be too many books to contain it. However, there are certain things that the Holy Spirit saw fit to be placed in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are for our benefit. Amen. And we're going to close with this one account here in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look at someone that was shalomed. Their life was a mess, but all of a sudden they got shalomed. How many want to be shalomed? Amen. That means wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, it's interesting when we read this situation here, let's read it as if you're reading, like this is the first time that you ever saw this situation, this account. These are real life experiences. These are not parables. This is an actual person that actually will be in heaven. When we go to heaven, they'll be there. This was a situation that they were facing, but the Holy Spirit saw to it, and three out of the four Gospels, the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, they're more similar, okay? John has a few other accounts, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Spirit of God saw to it that Matthew, Mark, and Luke would record this particular story about this woman that had an issue of blood, okay? Now, let's just take this apart here, and we probably won't finish it today, but look at verse 25. It says, and there was a woman that had a flow, actually out of the Amplified. Yeah, you got it already. You're smart. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, an issue of blood. Okay? And who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. Now, here's a lady here, a true story of a lady that had an incurable blood disease. Now, what's interesting, if you go back to Leviticus, you'll find that a woman that had this particular issue here was in the same category as a leper, where they could not be in public with the rest, the common folk. So, in other words, it was under Levitical law, they could not be in public, or they had to cry out if anybody was coming near them, they had to cry out, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Okay? So, this is the case here. Not only is she diseased, she had spent all that she had. So she, whatever little savings or whatever that she did have, she had trusted in the doctor. She's going to this doctor, that doctor, and this doctor, and thinking, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is the cure-all. Maybe this is the situation here. Amen? Now, folks, everything they had back then was organic. You stop and think about that. There was no pesticides. There was no GMO. Think about that. But she had an issue of blood. Sometimes things are natural. Sometimes they're spiritual, too. Okay? And what happened right here is she spent all that she had, but she grew worse. So not only is she sicker, now she's broke. I mean, she is broken and things are missing. Things are broken, right? What's shalom? Nothing missing, nothing broken. All right, look what happened right here. Verse 27. She heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying. See what it says in verse 28? She kept saying, if only I can touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. In verse 28. Now, let's back up here. In verse 27, now King James says, when she heard of Jesus. Verse 27, somebody had to have come to her or she would have not known. Somebody came to her because she heard about Jesus' healing and his power. So what happened in verse 27, this is after the doctors, she got worse, spent all of her savings. She is down to her last dime. Really bad situation. But somebody, doesn't say who it was, but somebody shared Jesus about Jesus' healing power with her, which gave her a biblical hope on the inside of her. And she just, once she heard that, now she's not met Jesus yet. She's never seen him yet. But notice in verse 28, notice it says this. She kept what? Okay. Now, this is where her healing began. And just like where her healing began, so shall your healing and your deliverance begin in the words of your mouth. She kept saying. She kept saying. Now, this is before she ever met him. This is before she ever went to him. She said, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. She kept saying it over and over and over again. What's going on here? Her faith is growing and growing and growing. Hallelujah. She didn't say, well, if I can try, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be restored. Now look at verse 28 says, she kept saying, if I can only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And verse 29, and immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. Notice that. And suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressed ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, he really didn't know. In his humanity state right here, Jesus was human too. He felt something go out of him. He turned around. He said, who touched me? Now, verse 31, his disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hand and heart around you and from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around her to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what was done into her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him all the truth. Just like a woman. To make a short story real long. Amen. I'm just kidding. 15 minutes later. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, springing forth from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into, notice this, peace. Say peace.
Peace.
What is that? Shalom. And he can, and be continually healed and freed from your distressed body and disease. Amen. Now the King James says she was made whole. So that means God just not only healed her, but he restored back to her everything that was missing. Her finances, everything. Praise God. Now, what struck me so much, you know, about this particular incident right here is that she, all the odds were against her. And sometimes people, they're waiting. It's people will do things sometimes. Christian folks will do things more out of convenience rather than, well, that's a little bit of effort. I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I don't know if I want to go to that church. It's a little bit of a drive, you know. Well, a church alive is worth a drive.
Amen.
Are you with me? Amen. I never, when I first got born again, I never even thought twice about how far a church was.
Amen.
Never. Because if the Word of God was being, now back in those days, there wasn't a whole lot to choose from either. Back in those days, I thought, are you kidding me? I'm not on horseback. I got a car. I'm going to drive there. I'm going to go get into the Word of God.
Amen.
If I have to drive 2 hours, I'll do it. Amen? Because the Word is worth it.
Amen.
Life-sustaining words from heaven that will help us. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Well, she was in a destitute situation. All hope was gone. Her money was gone. Her health was gone. And back in these days, folks, she couldn't jump on a bus and go to where Jesus was. Now, notice that Jesus didn't come to her. She went to Jesus. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, let's just say she was 10 miles away. Well, you know, that's going to take a little time to walk 10 miles. Okay? And not only that, she's in this weakened condition where she's anemic and loss of blood. So she's weak. Okay? So she's got all these strikes against her. And then thirdly, under Levitical law, she could be stoned for being caught in public. Every single thing that you can think of was lined up against her. She had every reason in the world to make excuses why she couldn't go to Jesus. But she let none of those things hold her back. Amen?
Amen?
And once we remove the excuse, I can't do it because of this, I can't do it because of this, and you remove those things, and you remove those things, and then it just between you and God to say, I ain't letting none of this stuff, I'm not letting my background, my lack of money, lack of education, lack of this, I'm not going to let anything hold me back. I'm going to go to Jesus because that's where my answer is.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says she came in the press behind. So in other words, there was a lot of people there. She found out where Jesus was, and she went and she came in the press behind. So when she finally got to where he was, there's a lot of people. Let's just say there's hundreds of people there, and they're all trying to get a piece of Jesus. You know what I mean? Here's the difference. She kept saying prior to that, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, that was his prayer shawl. That was this, her connection to God. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. She fought her way. She fought her way through that crowd. And she got somehow, she got in there, bam, as soon as she grabbed onto that garment there, Jesus stopped. It was like a jolt, a bolt of electricity went through me. He said, he stopped. He said, and he's looking around. He said, who touched me?
Hallelujah.
Now, his disciples are like bodyguards, you know what I mean? They got the black suits on, sunglasses, you know. And, you know, and they're trying to protect him and so forth. And he said, who touched me? And they all said, what are you talking about? Jesus, everybody's trying to touch you. What are you talking about? And he said, here's the Greek. It says, no, somebody made a demand on my power. Somebody made a demand on my power. Who was responsible for the power of God to be delivered to her? Was it Jesus or hers? It was hers. She was looking for Jesus, which tells me this. Now, folks, you say, well, that's her and this is me. I don't see Jesus walking around the hallway here in this hotel. I can't go grab his garment. Hold on just for a second here. Okay? You have it better than she did. Because she had to go where he was.
Yeah.
You just stand right where you're at.
Because
he's always present. Amen. Omnipresent. He's right there. He's right here. Right now. Praise God. Well, you remember Jesus. She's told him all the story. She said, I was broke. I was the destitute. And that's how they knew. Because she said it right there. She said, I was broke, you know, and I had this disease. Why did they say that? Because they heard her say this. She told the story right there. Everybody heard it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John heard it. They said, all right, we're going to write this in our Gospels. Okay? Now, what she experienced was this, that day, was shalom. And that shalom means wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. And that power went into her body, and immediately she knew she was healed. Well, how long did it last? It was 12 years, right? Well, the devil put a bad old stronghold on this woman for 12 solid years. And in one split millisecond, the power of God just eradicated that thing, and there it goes.
Amen.
It's gone. She's free. She's a free woman. She's healed. She's healed. She's healed. She's restored. All because someone said something to her. Said, you know, there's this guy. There's this Nazarene guy that heals people. And she, once she grabbed onto that and got a hold of that, there was no turning back. Amen. My question today is this, and I say this to me as well. How bad do you want God to help you? Do we only serve God out of when it's convenient? Yeah, I'm saying this to all of us, you know what I mean? No condemnation, but if there's a little bit of resistance, you know, you try to get up and go to church and all this stuff starts happening, and you give up and, well, you did this morning, you're here, right? A little bit of resistance, you know. Is that all it takes to make you back off? I don't believe it is. Amen. As a matter of fact, when the enemy starts putting pressure on you, that's when you step up to the plate and say, I ain't giving in. I'm not giving up. Praise God. I'm not moved by bad news. I'm not moved by the news media. I'm not moved by my job or lack thereof. I'm not moved by that. Okay? I was talking to somebody every once in a blue moon that would come into our church, you know. And it's just amazing. This person, we're not using names or anything like that, but they've been through this and been through that. Every time I talk to them, whenever that is, they're facing this or facing that, you know. And I thought, if you would just get plugged into God, plugged into the church, plugged into the anointing, you won't be still dealing with this like you were 8 years and 9 and 10 years ago.
Amen.
Okay? Because the problem is we're trying to fix ourselves. We can't fix ourselves.
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Remember Humpty Dumpty? But see, God is our maker, and He knows how to fix us. He knows how to make things right. Mm. Praise God. Maybe today you feel like you've come to the like sort of the end of your rope, so to speak, and you're just hanging on with barely one finger, you know. But, you know, that's the safest place you could be, because when you let go and say, Lord, I'm in your hands, I trust you now, that's the safest place that you can possibly be.
Amen.
I mean, really, when you're trusting God, that's the safest place that you could ever be. Praise God. Now, that takes a little bit of an effort, but it's worth it. You have to kind of shift the way you think sometimes, you know what I mean? Because I was so quick to yield to worry and fear when I was growing up, you know. I had to really just get a hold of myself and say, whoa, wait a minute here. I'm not supposed to respond like that. When I get a bad report and I get bad news or something like that, what do I do? Do I run to God or do I retreat within myself? Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Today, you and I can run to the throne room.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because I'll tell you, God loves each and every one of you unconditionally. There's nothing that you can do. Hear my voice. There's nothing that you can do to make Jesus and God fall in love with you more. There's nothing you can do. He loves you infinitely with an unconditional love. You don't have to work it up, conjure it up, do something. All you got to do is say, Lord, I believe you. And when you say that, He is bestowing upon you everything that you could ask, need, or think. There's restoration for all of you that are here today. Restoration. Restoration. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Worship you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Wholeness. 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 Wholeness for everyone here. Wholeness. 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 Brother David Altrogi, I see wholeness upon you. I see wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. 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 I see that Spirit of God upon you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, go lay your hands on David right now. Dave Altrogi. Put both your hands on his shoulders. Lay that paper down. Lay your hands on him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wholeness. Wholeness. Shalom. 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 Wholeness. Wholeness. Over you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you that his youth is being renewed even as we speak, like the eagles, Lord. Youthfulness, youthfulness coming back. Strength coming back. strength, sharpness. The mind you've given him is blessed of God, is coming back stronger and stronger and stronger like never before. Oh, ho, 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 ho. It'll be like going back 25 years. 25 years, Lord, right now, wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. Receive right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
No, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, it was so awesome this week. I heard Kenneth Copeland say, he was talking about our minds, you know. And he's like, you know, your mind is your mind. Like, doesn't belong to anyone else. Like, do you ever think about that? Come here, Cindy.
So, my cara voce break his stato do co. Ha, ha, ha.
Wow, the anointing is so strong on you. Here, turn around and face the other way. No, towards me. Yeah. My, my, my. You are a powerhouse for God. God's going to just move mightily upon you and use you in such a great way. It's amazing. You have a boldness and a tenacity. And it's not just going to be for souls only, but it'll be for your home. Father, I thank you. Oh, my goodness. I thank you for that boldness. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, Father God, I thank you. She's stepping into a new realm, a new realm, a new realm, Father God, where she uses her authority. She uses her boldness, and people see the results of her faith. And they want to cling on to her because she's holding on to God. And I thank you for filling her with that wisdom and the anointing, Father God. Oh, she's coming up higher. She's coming up higher, higher, much, much higher. Oh, ha, ha, ha. You'll see a long line of people running behind you. A long line of people. People you're bringing into the kingdom of God. Glory. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
We bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless you. Hallelujah. Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You sense it, don't you?
Glory to God. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Glory to God. Lord, you know what? You'll be laying hands on the sick, and you'll see them recover. You'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's going to be so cool. Yeah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sister Joni. Sister Joni, come on up here a second here.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
As Sister Lynn was praying, the Lord just showed me something here, that there's a boldness and there's a power that you've been longing for, praying for, believing for. You've even either heard stories or read stories or something where people have done these things, and your heart's cry is, Lord, I want that too. I want that too. And the Lord would say to you today that he's granting your heart's desire. And so you're going to see a new boldness and a new strength, and things that shook you in the past will no longer shake you. Things that would make you tremble will bounce off you like water off a duck's back.
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Why? Why? Because there's a spirit of might, spirit of boldness, and spirit of strength that comes from heaven above that's flowing into you today. Praise God. So be encouraged. Be strengthened. Be strong. Look not at that which you see with your natural eyes when it comes to that which is close to you. But look with the eye of the Spirit and see things in the Spirit and speak those things that you see in the Spirit.
Yes.
And it won't be long before you look in the natural and say, well, it's all turned around.
Amen.
It's all changed. And so there'll just be a calm assurance and a calm confidence on you. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Calm assurance.
Glory
calm confidence.
Glory to God.
Calm confidence.
Praise
and there'll be others.
Yes.
There'll be others. You mark my words. There will be others down the road that will say, how in the world can you be so calm in these Lord. Circumstances? And you'll say, well, it's because I know Jesus.
Amen.
It's because I know the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know him?
Thank
and so you'll be able to lead them into the things of God mm-hmm. because your life will bear witness of the resurrection Christ that lives on the inside of you.
Thank
you, Lord. So be blessed, be restored, be prosperous in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, God. Manisha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise
Glory
God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Let me see that paper real quick. You know, Stanley, if you want to bring up the scripture, it's in Nehemiah.
Yes, yeah.
Just pointing. I'm joking. Seeing if you're paying attention to that. It's I really was joking, actually. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
The sadness of the devil is your weakness.
Yeah.
And the devil wants you to be a weak, sissified, spiritual person. Because like the lady with the issue of blood, when she went to get her healing, she didn't care what anybody thought at all. She pushed people out of the way. And this is a woman. You understand that? And it's not a matter. I'm serious. It has nothing to do. It's the boldness of God that's going to come on you. And you're going to say, healing is mine. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you tell I've been around Kenneth Copeland? I mean, he is literally coming up to me, this close, brother, pointing at your face like this. How can that not affect you? It's going to affect you. The anointing is going to get on you. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. God's so good. If you knew how much God loved you, you'd never have a bad day again. I'm serious. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord just spoke this to me back there. Obviously, God loves a cheerful giver, but cheer is a byproduct of joy. Just like cheese is a byproduct of milk. Can you get cheese without milk? No, you can't. It might be fake cheese, but it's not the real deal. It might be in that little can, you know. But when it's a real deal, when oh, thank you, Lord. It's not some little cheesy smile like he was saying, like some clown that you're going around, you know, and it's just fake. And it's not, it's real. Joy, you don't even have to smile with joy, always. Sometimes you can have a serious look on your face, but it's the presence. You can't fake presence. You can fake it, the front. You know what I mean? But you can't fake the real presence. And when you're in the anointing, it's real. I'm telling you. That is what the world is looking for, not a sissified church. Jesus wasn't a wuss. Some people think, you know, he's just meek and mild. Jesus just looked like he got a facial. You know, he's just this tender little child, meek and mild. It's not. We have the wrong view of what Jesus really was. I'm serious. When he casted those devils out, the people there, how many were there? Thousands of devils. He didn't say, you know, what's going on, guys? Are you okay? I mean, he just walked right up, and he said, come out of them. And he's the only one that confronted those demons because it was the real deal. And that's what God's trying to get to us today. So we have to get joy first, and then cheer as the byproduct will come. So when we give, you're going to expect a harvest because you're in the real joy of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's pray real quick. Open your hearts to receive right now. Everybody lift their hand to the Lord. Lord, we come before you right now, and we thank you for the anointing that is upon our lives. We thank you that it is your joy that's going to overcome this world. Satan and all his cohorts, Lord. We ask you to give us right now, Lord, another measure of joy that we have never experienced right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother, what's your name? Jordan. God is going to reveal himself to you, man, more than you've ever experienced in life, man. People are going to see Jesus on you, man. They're going to think you're cool because you are, you know. Praise you, Lord. Wow. This isn't me today. This is God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yeah. You got anything? Good. That's it.
Let's stand up and rejoice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, if anything was, I just want to say this, is if anything was said, you know, those were not anything, anybody that we prayed for. It was as the Spirit led us to do that, okay? But if, let me say this, God's not leaving anybody out, okay? So if anything that was said that ministered to you, that was said to the one of these people, the Holy Spirit's letting you know that's for you too, okay? He's not leaving anybody out, okay? Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Praise God. Melissa, could you close us in prayer today? Come on up here. And
Lord, we just praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives. The quickening power that's in here today, Lord, is amazing. We thank you for the quickening power, the quickening power. Lord, as we leave this place, let your power, that quickening strength, go with each one of us to our homes where there'll be peace in our lives. Let there be peace. Let us be whole, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just ask your blessing on each one of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.